Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on this very special day at Petco Park here in San Diego. The Padres are very excited about today and today's announcement and to meet our new manager. We'd very much like to thank all of you for being here today. We'd also like to thank our special viewers who have joined us from Fox Sports San Diego, the MLB Network, our listeners on 97.3 The Fan, and of course, Padres.com. We're ushering in a new era of Padres baseball today as we introduce the newest manager of the San Diego Padres, the 21st manager of the Padres, Jace Tingler. Alongside Jace on the stage this morning is Padres Executive Vice President and General Manager, A.J. Preller. When we begin, we'll have opening remarks from A.J., and we'll follow with a few words from Jace himself before we open up to you the floor to take some questions. So at this time, A.J. Preller.
Thank you, Don. Jace is joined here today. Just want to recognize Callie, his wife, Gabe and Gio, his boys, and Diana and Steve, his parents. Thank you guys for being here, and welcome to the Padres. It's been about a month or so that we started this process, and there's clear marching orders from Ron and from Peter. We feel like we have a talented group of young individual players and looking for a manager that can turn that group into a world championship caliber team. We sat down that first day, about a month, myself, Ron, and Peter, and started to map out things that we wanted to see, characteristics, criteria we wanted to see in our next manager. Somebody that can connect with individual players, guys that have different backgrounds. Obviously, in a big league clubhouse, you have 25 different individuals, come from all different skill levels, all different experiences and different backgrounds, and somebody connect with those players. Somebody that those players are going to want to run through a wall for. Somebody that they're going to want to play for, they're going to be proud to play for. We talked about somebody that had knowledge and content. Obviously, a lot goes into the game of baseball. It's a detailed game. It's a highly skilled game, and somebody that can transfer that knowledge and that experience to our talented group that we have right now at the big league level. Somebody that has passion and work ethic and energy, and you know through. Basically, just through day-to-day experiences, can transfer that to the group that we have right now, overall at the big league level. Somebody that when we talk about clear expectations and standards, that through their message, through a consistent message to the group, can make it clear to Padre fans, this is the identity of our team. This is what we want to look out and see. That our players understand when they walk in the building what it's going to take to be a world championship caliber first baseman or a world championship caliber shortstop or a world championship caliber outfielder or pitcher. And some of it makes it fun. You know, you hear a lot about the grind of baseball. You hear that the season's a grind. You know, there are moments where we feel that way, but ultimately it's a game, and it's a game that the players have to enjoy it. They have to enjoy being on the field. They have to do it with a smile. As we sat down as a group, Ron, Peter, and myself, we looked at that checklist and said we want somebody that can check all those boxes. And my first experience with Jace as a player, he was a very instinctive player. And, you know, we always talked about those instincts. My first time with Jace, he was coming off the field in spring training, his first day as a Texas Ranger minor league player. And those instincts were on full display. Workout got done. He took his baseball pants off, his dirty laundry and clothes, put it in his baseball bag. And he handed it to our general manager, our current general manager at the time, John Daniels, thinking he was our clubhouse manager to do his laundry for him. So it was at that moment that me and JD looked at each other and said, now this guy's going to manage in the major leagues one day or whatnot. You know, when he got done playing, it was pretty clear that his calling was coaching. And I think a lot of that probably is in his blood. His parents, Diana and Steve, they're Hall of Fame level coaches at the state level in Missouri. You know, Jace's first experience was to go down to the Dominican Republic. Not an easy challenge, but he went down there first as a coach, and then 2 years as a manager. Foreign country, language barrier, new culture. But what it showed me is that he was comfortable being uncomfortable, and quickly showed that you know, a lot of that that energy, that passion, that knowledge, he could transfer that to players, and that's a gift. Not a lot of people have that. He clearly possessed that. You know, over the course of the 3 seasons he was down there, the program got a ton better. Individual players got better. Guys ended up eventually developing into major league players that were signed to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids at the time. He built an identity for that group that he led, and he did a lot of winning. He then was promoted up through the system as a minor league manager, as a field coordinator, where he was responsible for giving instruction to all levels of a minor league system, from rookie ball players up until, you know, AAA players, guys that have all different experiences. He became a farm director. He became an assistant general manager, and then a major league coach. I think through those experiences, what we've seen is the same connection that I got to see a few years ago, working with international free agents, guys that just signed. We've been able to see him connect with all different players throughout a system, guys that are top prospects, guys that are grinders in the minor leagues, guys that are 4A players, guys that are Major League veteran, Hall of Fame players like Adrian Beltre, perennial All-Stars like Hunter Pence and Sin Shu Chu. That connection that we've seen, that ability to relate, that passion, that work ethic, that energy, that knowledge, he's had an ability to reach a lot of different players here over the last decade and his different experiences. The process was very intensive, hundreds of hours of conversation, a lot of time spent looking at the best and the brightest. I had a chance to sit down and talk with former major league managers, veterans of the minor league ranks, some of the up-and-coming minor league coaches, talked to some of the best minds in college baseball. A lot of hours spent talking to Ron, to the baseball operations group, about exactly knowing what we were looking for, but just exactly what the different candidates brought to the table. And for us, it was pretty clear that the checklist that we look back on from day one when we started this process, that Jace was the right person at the right time with the right experiences, and he was the person that when we got done with the process was clearly the choice for us as the manager of the Padres. So it's a lot of pleasure. I introduce Jace Tingler as the next manager of the San Diego Padres.
Putting on the new 2020 cap, so that you know, this will be the cap the Padres wear in 2020. The jersey, however, is from last year's Friday nights. You may remember it. And that is largely because of the uniform unveiling, which will take place on November the 9th coming up. So this is last year's jersey.
Ron Fowler, Peter Seidler, your ownership group, thank you for your belief. A.J. Preller and his team, I'm excited to work together and appreciate this opportunity. Also want to give thanks to the Texas Rangers and the organization and the people over there. Thank you for raising me in this game. Thank you for developing me. John Daniels, for believing in me, for helping me on and off the field. I appreciate the support over the years. Chris Woodward, for just being himself, authentic, genuine. Learned a lot under him. I've had so many people in that organization invest in me over the past 14, 15 years. And they know who they are. I want to give a special kind of shout out to Jose Vasquez for investing in me. Our conversations, talking about life, talking about leadership, talking about being a father, a husband. Jose and the group over there, I thank you. Want to give special thanks to Jose Gomez and the Escogido baseball family down in Santo Domingo. You took a chance on me, and to the players and to the members down there, I thank you for opening your arms and welcoming me in to your family. my parents, Steve and Diana, here today. To me, this day is for you guys. It's for my family. Thank you for raising me with great examples in life. Thank you for being coaches. Thank you for raising me in the basketball gym on the field. But just a loving environment, I thank you. My wife, Callie, boys, Gabe and Gio. Callie, for being the rock and the foundation at home. And to the boys, please continue listening to your mother. Over the past week, I've received a lot of texts, a lot of phone calls, a lot of messages from friends and family, and just know I'm doing the best I can at getting back, but the love and support is felt. To the current players that have reached out with their love and support, I can't tell you what it means, but to the players currently playing now, I just want to thank you for allowing myself and other coaches to coach you. To the former players that I've had experience with over the past couple years, and maybe they've been released, maybe they've moved on in different aspects of their life from baseball. But with them reaching out, thank you for the love and support. But most importantly, thank you for reminding me why I coach. I cannot wait to move forward. I cannot wait to build relationships. And ultimately, I can't wait to be a part of a group that brings a championship to the city of San Diego. So thank you.
We ask that you raise your hand, wait for the microphone, state your name and affiliation prior to asking your question. We will begin with A.J. Cazavelle of MLB.com. A.J.?
Hi, Jace. Welcome to San Diego.
Thank you.
How do you balance the challenges of being a first-time manager in the big leagues with the goal to win now in 2020?
I think you got to draw back on past experience from people that you've seen. And I think the reality is I'm going to have a group around me that is supporting that. We're going to have people around that, is going to help, through that process. I've seen managers, over my years, I've had a lot of talks. I've drawn their experience. So I'm probably going to lean back on some of those talks and how I've seen it. And also I'm going to rely on a team. I'm going to rely a team of whether that's the staff, whether that's front office, but people that have been there as well.
Jace, Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune.
Kevin.
I assume you watched the World Series.
A little bit, yeah.
Assume you've seen a lot of this team that you're taking over. How close or how far is this team, the Padres, from the World Series?
Sure. I think when you watch those two teams and when we talk about expectations, those two teams have championship qualities. And I think those are the qualities and expectations that I think us as a group here are going to demand. From a talent-wise, I don't know. I think we're maybe closer than maybe what seem or think. But the way the Nationals and Houston play, they've got pitchers that are ultra aggressive in the zone. They're on the attack. I see two offensive groups that are incredibly disciplined in the zone. They lay off pitches out of the zone. They battle. They fight to get barrel to ball and get the ball between the lines. I see groups that are extra aggressive on the base paths, and they play tremendous defense. And to me, and I think to us here, that's championship-level baseball, and that's kind of the expectations I think we're going to be hoping to set going forward.
A lot of talk about that you've never managed before. What do you think you bring, and why were you the best choice?
You know, I can't speak on the second part of that. I don't know, you know, who they spoke to and the other guys out there. I only know really my journey. I've been around a lot of very good baseball men. I've had an ability to connect with players. I may be a little bit new school and a lot of bit old school. I think at the end of the day, it's about people. People play the game. Players play the game. And I'm just really interested in working with the staff that can build relationships with players and can push players and hopefully get the best out of them. And I'm hoping if we double down on some of those fundamentals that we've got a chance to be ultra successful here.
Jace, Bryce Miller from the San Diego Union-Tribune. You talked about relationships. I assume maybe you've talked to a couple of veterans like Machado and Hosmer. If you have, what kind of message were you trying to relay? Or if you haven't, and when you get the opportunity, what do you want to say to those guys in the clubhouse?
Sure. We've started the process of connecting. Doing the best I can, you know, trying to work, you know, maybe 2 to 3 calls like a day. You know, we've got other things going on, you know, in the process. But I think, like, number one is just establishing, you know, relationships and starting to build. And I hope they understand, you know, my expectations. I don't expect to gain their confidence because of this title. I don't expect to have that right off the bat. But I do believe that, you know, I'm asking the group to be open-minded. And I personally expect to win that confidence over time, and that's by being me. That's by being consistent, being the same person every day. And I look forward to continuing to connect on the phone. I look forward to connecting face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball. And the reality is if we show up in spring training, and that's one of the first times I'm meeting the group, we're probably 2-3 months behind, and that sure seems like a recipe for not something I think we're looking forward to.
Jace, Dennis Lynn with The Athletic.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi. You mentioned being a blend of new school and old school. How do you see analytics playing into your role as a manager in 2019, 2020? How do you see that going forward?
Yeah, I'm. Look, I believe in information. I believe in, you know, if you got 25 guys, if you got 40 guys on the roster, the reality is there may be 38 different ways to connect to that, you know, each and every individual. I've studied analytics. I like analytics. I like sports, technology. I like science. And it's all can add value to the game. I think this game is played on fundamentals. I think it's played with discipline. I think it's played with energy. I think it's played with passion. And so I think once we get to know one another, finding the best way individually and collectively as a team, we're open to information, but information that makes us better, not information that is overloaded and maybe clouds or creates fog. What we're looking for is clarity when we're talking to our players and trying to develop some blueprints for ways for them to succeed ultimately.
Darnay Tripp, NBC7. Jace, I was wondering if you could just reflect on how much AJ bringing you to Texas, your time with him together kind of set the foundation for today, and how much you've thought about that through the course of this process.
The process has been a little bit of a whirlwind. I haven't had a lot of self-reflection time. You know, the easy up and down flight from Santo Domingo to San Diego. You know, the reality is you know, AJ and I had a relationship in Texas. He is has been one of the drivers in developing me. That's the reality. It's also reality that he's been gone, or we've been away from each other the last 5 years. And I think, you know, we weren't really in contact. But I think what was healthy was growing, learning from other people. And I'm sure, I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure that was healthy and part of his growth like as well. You go into the interview process, hadn't really been around each other in whatever it's been, 5-6 years. I don't know how he felt on his end, but about 3 to 4 seconds into our conversation, to me it felt like it was 2010 again. I can't speak on what he felt, but that's personally how I felt.
Chase, AJ Cassavell again, MLB.com. What are the priorities as you look to build your coaching staff going forward?
Sure. We're in that process. We're meeting with people. The bottom line, can you build relationships? And can you impact players? Can you make them better? Can you push them? Do you have the heart of a teacher? Do you have discipline? Can you show up every single day? That's some of the qualities we're looking for, and they come in all walks of life. And what's been fascinating about the process is, at least for me, is meeting people that I haven't worked with necessarily in the past, but getting to know them, I'm enjoying that process. But can you build relationships? Can you push them? Can you make them better? Do you have real knowledge and expertise in your area? I think those are some of the qualities we'll be looking for.
After the vacancy was open, a lot of players said that communication was key for them when they were looking for their next manager, something they wanted to see. How can you be an effective communicator for them? And then the other part of my question is, what can you bring to the table, even though you haven't necessarily had the same managerial experience in the major league or with playing in the MLB?
Yeah, as far as communication, my expectations for communication are high. I think it's a two-way street. I think if we can both understand a couple things, it's not going to be perfect, but we're going to do the best we can at communicating with them. I'm not a type of person that sits in his office. I prefer to be active. I prefer to be out and about. I enjoy genuinely being around players, being around young people, being around players of experience. I enjoy it. What does that mean? What does that look like? Quite frankly, I don't want to be in my office much. I want to be in the gym. I want to be shagging in the outfield, and maybe we're connecting with relievers, and maybe that's hitting a fungo with ground balls. I don't know. These things I've found to be, they come up. You don't know when these moments happen of communication, but I do believe that if you're out being active, more organic, natural moments are arrived. As far as never managing in the major leagues, I'm going to make mistakes. And my guess is the players at some point are going to make mistakes, so we already have common ground. Now let's, go forward. I'm going to have people around that maybe they've managed, maybe they've bench coached. They're going to have all walks of life. I've been fortunate enough the last 5 years, I've been very involved with the major league team in Texas. And in 3 years of almost serving as a second bench coach, it's may not be perfect, but I've managed a lot of games in my mind and gone through scenarios. And now the National League is new to me. I think just establishing a couple things. I'm going to need to learn. I'm going to need to grow. I'm going to make mistakes. I look forward to growing from those mistakes and doing it quickly.
Jace, my name is Rodrigo Peguero from 2DN in Mexico, and I can Spanish. You can answer in Spanish.
Sí, pero necesita hablar despacio,
no,
por favor.
No te preocupes, es una pregunta en español, ¿no? Lo que representa el reto de tomar esta organización Los Padres en tu carrera y la conexión que tiene Tijuana, San Diego con México. Hay 3 jugadores mexicanos.
Seguro.
¿Qué representa también el tener a gente, en este caso mexicana, en tu escuadra?
Hey. Estoy muy, muy emocionado para esta oportunidad. Y la verdad es, estoy en el proceso de aprendiendo español. Mi experiencia. Y venezolano, cubano, boricuan. Pero en serio, estoy muy emocionado para esta oportunidad. Y más importante para mí es yo quiero construir relaciones con los peloteros. Y yo sé es un proceso que va a tomar tiempo.
Hey, Jace. AJ, how are you?
Hey, Barry.
My name's Barry Bloom. I work for Forbes. You're the 14th Padre manager I'm going to be covering in my 40-year career as a baseball writer, so welcome.
Thank you.
Two quick questions for you and then one for AJ. Number one, you talked about what you see in a coaching staff. Have you decided, are there any holdovers from this staff already that you're going to keep? And then secondly, obviously managing in the National League is a completely different animal without the DH. How do you think you're going to adjust to that?
Yeah, I think like we're in the process of, meeting coaches. We haven't made decisions on that. Obviously, we're meeting with coaches that were here in the past. And we're meeting with coaches, that have been outside the organization. The one thing I feel confident in is we're going to work as a team. And we're going to, make decisions that's best on, our players and the organization going forward. As far as the National League style, I've spent the majority of my time in the American League. I grew up in Kansas City. I grew up a Royals fan, American League. I was drafted by Toronto. I've worked 14, 15 years with Texas. So is it safe to say I'm going to need a little bit of help with the National League? But I'm a guy that's maybe a little bit different in the structure of, how we do things. I prefer to rely on I like information, and I like information from our coaches, from our staff. I really don't believe in hierarchy. So my goal is as the game's going, sometimes it goes fast. I'm probably going to be drawing on a lot of different opinions and experiences in the dugout. And so I hope to learn quick. And, I hope to have some people around with different areas of expertise and different experiences. And I think the biggest way you combat it is you game plan early. You run through scenarios in your head. Those things come up. It usually slows down. The reality is the game happens, and sometimes you got to draw it up in the dirt. And having people around with that ability to ad lib as we get going and to be able to be confident and fire ideas my way, at least I think that's the plan going forward.
So your bench coach is going to be important. Would you want to have somebody with managerial experience, like a Trey Hillman type, that would be able to, or somebody who's managed in the National League to be able to give you that expertise?
I want good baseball people that can connect with players, can push people, and can make them better.
AJ, just for one last for you. You kind of went through this already with Andy Green. You hired a guy who had very limited major league experience. He was a third base coach. He didn't have much minor league experience. Why do you think this is going to be different this time around? Is it your relationship with Jace that made you decide to do this again?
I think everything's on the individual. I think maybe the easy thing to do sometimes is when you make a decision and it doesn't get quite the results that you're looking for, then what you see a lot of times, I think, in pro sports is the team then goes to 180 degrees in the different direction. I think for us, like we understood like what we were looking for and the type of person we were looking for. And again, to characterize all you know, first year managers is the same, or all managers that are a certain age group is the same. Same thing as looking at, you know, if you look at, hey, every scout that's over the age of 60 years old believes in X, Y, and Z. Everybody's different. And I think we went into the process as a baseball operations team, talking to Ron, talking to Peter with that understanding, and understanding that, you know, our criteria, we talked about connecting, we talked about knowledge, we talked about passion and energy, we talked about work ethic, we talked about keeping it fun. You know, that we knew that was going to come in all different walks of life from people with different experiences. And, you know, I do think, like, the fact that, again, sometimes you get into, when you work with somebody, that's probably it's hard to know somebody until you work with them on a day-to-day basis in any business. And, you know, the fact that me and Jace have working experience, I know what to expect, and that definitely played a factor in the whole decision.
Jace, Lee Hamilton from KUSI. Question about what you inherit, the bigger challenge, pushing the kid pitchers to the next level or fixing all the metrics in the batting order that were so bad over the last couple of years? What do you think is the biggest challenge, and how do you view what you've inherited? Thank you.
Let me go with the last piece of that. I think this is a special situation. I think going through the interview process, you had I met with a group, a team working here, and I can't explain where we found common ground, but I think the one thing that radiated off is you had a group up here dying to win, like truly passionate to win. The reality is, this is my first managing job, and I don't think a lot of managing jobs first time when you come into a situation have pitchers like Paddock, like Richards, like Lamet, have two defensive or two catchers, one defensively in Hedges, upside of Mejia offensively, switch hitter with the cannon. I don't think you run into situations on the infield corner with Machado, with Hosmer, with arguably one of the best 20-year-olds on the planet, and a shortstop in Tatis. Upside of Urias in the infield. We can go through the outfield situation, but then you look up and it's arguably one of the best three closers in the game in Kirby Yates. So what have we inherited? We've got a lot of players with some huge upside, and in my small beginning phases of connecting with players over the phone, I think they share that kind of dying passion to win here in the city of San Diego.
Hi, Jace, over here. Kyle Kraska, CBS.
Hi, Kyle.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Congratulations and
thank
welcome.
You.
I'm sure you're aware this is a fan base that's been waiting for a winner for a very long time. Many of them are tuned in right now live. Could you speak to them and tell them why they should be excited about you as a manager and about this team going into 2020?
Yeah, I can. I'm very sensitive on speaking to what we're gonna do. I'm just not comfortable talking about what the plan is before I've had an opportunity to meet the players face to face and have that message. But I can speak briefly on some of the expectations. I believe we're gonna have a group that prepares. Number one, we're gonna have a group that works. Not just talks, but works. We're going to look for ways to come together as a group. I believe in cohesiveness. I believe in chemistry. I think, for the fans, look, I've got two boys. It's important the way we play the game. It's important the way we prepare. I want to see a team that runs the bases. That catches the ball, that throws the ball to the right base. I want to see a group of pitchers that are on the attack, not afraid to get hit, but on the attack. I want to see a group of hitters that become disciplined in the zone, that can pressure the zone. I'm not saying we sit up there and take, but I'm saying we're hoping to have a team that can pressure the zone, move the bat, get the barrel to ball, hit it between the white lines, and run the bases. I want to see an environment that is created to where they're allowed to make mistakes. And if they're aggressive mistakes and they're educated mistakes, probably going to celebrate that. I want to see a group of players have fun. I want that energy radiating off. I hope, you know, as these things are talked about, you know, to the fans, I hope that's an experience when they have that they can feel that. So that would be, I think, our message. Again, I'm not comfortable, you know, without meeting with the players, you know, face-to-face. I think those things are, you know, a little bit personable. But with that being said, that's, I think, kind of the vision that this group talked about.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, thank you very much for attending. We greatly appreciate it. Congratulations to Chase Tengler.